Hi. Welcome to the Coffee in Your Cup, sponsored by Arise Counseling Center, coming to you with another podcast. I have been missing y'all out here today. I'm Shannon Palmer, I'm your host, and I just have a subject today. I'm gonna get right into it, okay? We're living in a time where alcohol and drugs are taking over people, okay? Do you not know that alcohol and drugs is one of the number one leading cause of domestic abuse in the home? A lot of times when the cops come out to arrest, they, say that the couples, maybe one or both, were drunk or had some type of illicit drug in their system. So it's one of the leading causes of domestic violence in the home. When the cops are going to arrest people for crimes such as theft and all those things, such as burglary and crashes, we know it's car crashes and all types of crimes that are going on. When they are testing people that are committing these crimes, they find that they are up under some influence of drugs and alcohol. And so we know that we have a big problem in the society with alcohol. But how many know that alcohol is not the cause? Alcohol is something that people use, or drugs. Okay, I'm focusing on alcohol, but it could be drugs too. Alcohol and drugs is something that people use to numb the problem that they have in their lives. Okay. The root problem could be, hey, I have a problem with unforgiveness, or I was raised in a home that I was abused in, or I am hurting or jealous. I feel rejected, And so what happens to numb those feelings, people use something, especially men, okay? Men will, they don't want to feel vulnerable. They don't want to feel they want to feel in control of their lives. They don't want to consult counselors and talk to people. So what do? They turn to things like drug and alcohol, gambling addiction, sexual addiction, and all those things. Okay. So we know that it is a big problem in our society, and yet we cannot talk about alcohol without talking about some things that we can do, which are root problems other than alcohol. That's why I want to talk about, because I find that people, they don't want to stop drinking. They don't want to take responsibility, okay, for their actions. Because again, people don't want to be responsible because it's really, truly, you have to go back and dig up root problems, things that are under the surface from childhood, rejection, or the pain that's going on in the home. They don't want to deal with those things. So again, I find that responsibility is a thing, is the step towards change in an addict's life. So what is responsibility? It is accepting the consequences of your behavior. Okay. And then I pose a question as, can others make us responsible? Absolutely not. They can't make us responsible. Okay. Responsibility is a choice. Okay. Now, I can say this, that one person can choose to punish you based on whether you're not the consequences. Okay. But again, it is your choice to be responsible. Okay. And people, that is not as easy. Easy is what we think it is, because again, it's so many things working under the surface when it comes down to addiction that you have to. And I'm just going to give you a little bit today, and I'm going to try to get on here and talk about different subjects, because my goal here at Arise Counseling Center is to not only help people, but I am one counselor that understands that there is more above the, it's more under the surface than what you see. than what you see in people's lives. And what they are doing is really not the problem. It's something that's hiding, okay? And that's why people need counselors and things like that so that they can understand what's going on behind the surface. Now, what I said is, we're going to go back to responsibilities, okay? No other person can make you responsible, okay? Others can only impose consequences. They can only reward or punish our behaviors based on what we do. But responsibility is something that we must be aware of. It's our own inner strength. And again, once we achieve this awareness, you will begin to take charge of your life and change. Responsibility is all about growth, okay? Because when you begin to take responsibility for your own actions, no matter what it is, then now there's change and now there's growth. That's why people can stay the same way in their addiction for years after years. And believe it or not, not only are they not taking responsibility for their behaviors, we have something called helplessness that's working right along with it, okay? Helplessness is when a person believes that their actions are useless. It's a waste of time. The results of helplessness is unhappiness and failure because we don't see the point of even trying to do something about our problems. The helplessness is common among alcohol abusers and addicts. They feel unable to cope, so they drink to relieve it. People who feel helpless probably went through some life experiences. As I said, maybe they were abused growing up physically, okay? Maybe they were victims of something. So during this time, they learned to be helpless when they were children or when they went through that tragedy in their lives, okay? Some over and over again. And they learn to be helpless. However, after the situation changed or they grew up from their childhood, their feelings of helplessness remain. So you can move out of your parents' home, but yet because you had what I call a spirit of helplessness, that's what I always say, or the feeling of helplessness, you can take that right on out of your house into your adulthood, okay? And again, a lot of addicts and alcohol abusers have that because it keeps them in their addiction, okay? And so it's so important that we understand what's working behind the surface. Now, I'm going to talk about something else as well as when we talk about responsibility and helplessness. We have something called victim thinking. And I want you to think about that victim thinking. What comes to your mind when you hear the words victim thinking? Well, I'm going to let you know. It's another way of thinking about oneself, which is also common in alcohol abusers. Victim thinking is when we think that other people who are stronger or more powerful than us determine our fate. Okay? That's what you call victim thinking. Okay? And so why will people become victims and blame their problems in life and things like that? Again, it goes to the fact that it is so easy to be a victim than to be responsible, as I said. Because when I become responsible, it takes the focus off of the other person. It takes the focus off of the situation and it put it back on me. No matter what's going on, you could be in the midst of all wrong people that's doing everything, okay? But when I become responsible, I begin to, the searchlight comes on what I could have done better, okay? But victim thinking is all about hiding, okay? It's all about hiding one's feelings because it's so easy to hide and not be truthful Because again, I have to deal with that rejection I went through as a child. I have to deal with that sexual abuse issue as when I was a child. I have to deal with that unfaithful, those unfaithful people in my life. I have to deal with that bullying in my past. I have to go back and deal with the buried emotions that's there. And that makes me feel vulnerable. That makes me feel not in control, and it hurts. Okay, when I think about it. So I rather have victim thinking than to have accountability. Okay, so this is how this goes. All right, it could go as something like this. I'm going to give you two illustrations. You could, let's say a person is taking responsibility. They tell the truth, right? Okay, they're not going to lie. All right, but the person that, you know, maybe have the victim thinking or helplessness, they're going to say something like this. People are not going to believe me. You know, I'm not going to tell the truth. People is not going to believe me. Okay. So again, it goes hand in hand. Like, for example, obeying the law. What are the rules about obeying the law? You know, penalties are imposed. Fear of being caught. Okay. But guess what? What will my excuse be? The police is harassing me. Instead of me taking ownership of, hey, you know, maybe I did what I did. Maybe I need to drink responsibly. I'd rather say, oh, the police was harassing me, you know, okay? Or I can go back to telling the truth, okay? People don't believe liars. So, you know what? My excuse would be, well, no, they just don't understand me. Instead of being truthful. Let's talk about something. Let me give you another illustration. A person that's unfaithful to their spouse, okay? They may be thinking, you know, wife or husband don't trust you, unfaithful to you. A wife or husband leaves you. Those are the consequences of it. But what is the excuse? Just like the addict. You know why I did this? My wife or husband, they nagged me. So that's how it works with the addict, you know, or the person that's the alcoholic, okay? They're full of excuses, and believe it or not, those excuses is keeping them in the cycle of their addiction, okay? It keeps them in the cycle. So I'm going to give you an example. Let's say someone that have multiple DWIs, okay? So first comes, let's say if we can draw a circle, okay? And we put that person right in the middle, okay? And this is their life throughout the years. They've received two or three DWIs, but that just didn't happen. So they receive a DWI. Once they receive that DWI from the cops, and you know, after that, the consequences are fines, fees, probation, suspension of license. Okay. Now comes the feeling of I'm upset, I'm angry, depressed, embarrassed, I'm worried, fear. And you would think all of those feelings and emotions, and then all of those consequences of paying those fines, that person would say, hey, I had enough of this. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. You know, I have this on my record. You know, my family, I feel like this. But then for some reason, they will go and make excuses. I mean, they will make excuses, and then it will be repeat arrest. Okay. Repeat unresponsible drinking. Okay. And that's how they get another DWI. So again, that right there, responsibility is the key. Okay. It is the key for change, okay? What is the benefits of responsibility? What is the benefits of it? The benefits of responsibility will be, is a really good benefit, okay? It is the difference. It's the opposite of helplessness and victim thinking, okay? Responsibility has many benefits. It brings hope. It does not involve dwelling on the past and beating oneself up because of mistakes. It's accepting the consequences and looking towards the future to see how one can choose better next time. Responsibility brings a sense of control by making one aware of his or her own choices. Responsible people and responsibility helps people recognize that consequences follow their behaviors, so they choose carefully. They do what they need to be. They do what it needs to be done because they want to rather than have to. Okay. So that is the benefits of responsibility. And then we can go on and I can give you a more example. Let's just talk about, let's say Mr. Johnson want to make $15 an hour. Okay. So he'll say, I have to go to school and I just don't have the time. There's the excuses. Okay. I want to make this $15 an hour, you know, but God, I have to go to school to do this. Okay. But you know what? I don't have the time. People like Mr. Johnson, who look at life in terms of have to find it difficult to change. They have to be constantly pushed, give up accountability, place the blame on others, find excuses, lack of desire, resent us others, and constantly see the worst. Okay? They might say, what if I went to school and didn't pass? So they're going to make excuses for it. But let's look at the ones that want to. What if Mr. Johnson had want to, okay? I don't need others to push me, okay? They choose to do things they want to as a result. For example, I want to go to school so I can make $15 an hour, okay? Other examples might be, I drive sober because I want freedom, good health. I care about others. I don't drink because I want a more satisfying life, good health, and a clean mind. They accept accountability. They consider the consequences in their actions. They look for solution and excuses. They have a desire. They see the best. When I complete school, I'll get a better paying job. So that is the want to's versus the people that say have to's and that don't take responsibility. Okay. Responsible people, they see themselves as valuable. They see themselves as capable. They take setbacks easily. They see mistakes as a way to learn. They have a warm feeling towards others. Responsible people have high self-esteem. Do y'all hear that? Oh, that's a key right there. Responsible people has high self-esteem. And then we can go on to some more benefits of responsibility. They have hope. They have a sense of control of their life. They change because they want to. They accept consequences and choices. They recognize no choice is a choice. Do you understand that? Even if you make no choice, it's still a choice. They have high self-esteem and respect for others, okay? So that is the reason to take responsibility. And so in an addict, if they begin to see this, okay, and knowing that this is one of the root problems, that is hope for change, okay? And you will begin to make better decisions in your life. You will begin to become aware of your decisions, okay? And your life will change. Remember what I said at the beginning of it, taking responsibility is one of the number one keys for change in the addict's life, okay? I work with all kinds of clients. Let me tell you something, the list goes on and on and on. I've been doing this for over 10 years. And working with clients, I understand those that come in, and a lot of them do come in with the victim thinking, and they don't want to take responsibility. And sometimes it is because of shame, okay? They're in the group with other guys or in the group with other women. And you know what? It just feels so better to make excuses to take up for our behavior because of pride. That could be one, okay? And again, this has been a behavior over the years. This is how they got by. This is why they're in the cycle of their addiction, because hey, I've made excuses for this, and now this has become a part of my personality. This is what I do. This is my DNA. So when they come in, it is sometimes very hard to just break down those walls. I have to give them time to get it all out, and eventually those walls will begin to break down. But I have to facilitate the group well in order to leave no room for them making excuses. You know, I have to be able to facilitate it in a way where we can bring the responsibility back to them. And sometimes it takes growth. And I have some guys that get there pretty fast, but yet, you know, with counseling, if they continue, that they will be on the road of recovery, you know. But some people just don't want to get it, okay? Because this is how they live. This is their way of escape. And again, it goes back to childhood. Remember what I said at the beginning? They were in a helpless situation. Though they were abused, okay? He or she was abused growing up, you know, and they were helpless. So now, even though they moved out of the house and moved on their own and became an adult, they still have the victim and the helpless thinking. Okay, because this is how they cope. And so, again, they drown themselves and cover up themselves with unhealthy things like alcohol and drugs to be able to cope. Now, I'm not saying they all start off because of growing up where it was a dysfunctional household. I don't say that they all grow up like that. No, they don't. They all don't do that. But one thing I will say is that sometimes using alcohol comes from peer pressure. You know, when we were young, we had drinking with our friends, okay? And now we started out drinking for fun. We started out drinking because maybe we were shy and it loosened us up. And it caused us to maybe talk more, or we didn't want to dance or socialize more. And we become now codependent, where we're drinking every day. And now it becomes an addiction, where now we're making poor choices at work, in society. We're making poor choices, you know, on our jobs and things like that, where we were responsible before. Okay. And those are some psychological and physical effects of alcohol. Begin to affect you and how you make decisions. But again, it didn't start out that way. You may have started out just doing it socially, doing it for fun, okay? And then now you're drinking every day, or your tolerance has become to the point that your tolerance level has increased. Now you need more alcohol, and now you won't go anywhere unless there's alcohol there. Those may be signs that something is going out of control in your life, okay? You're not taking responsibility, okay? It's so important that we begin to check up on our lives and make sure that something don't have us and we have it. I believe that marijuana and alcohol is one of the sneakiest drugs around in addictions, because a lot of times the addict will tell you it just happened suddenly. Without them being aware, even though that's not the case. There were signs, but it could sneak up on you if you're drinking to have fun, and then all of a sudden now you're drinking every day, and now you're becoming codependent. Now your tolerance level, so you move so fast in your addiction and not knowing that it's happening above your eyes, because you're able to still work, maintain your life with some addictions. And so it's not until you start noticing what's going on at work. You're becoming absent. On Monday, you know you've been drinking the whole weekend, and you call in sick on Monday. Your declining of productivity on your job's tardiness, you know, it becomes a problem with you personally, where you are having medical problems like cirrhosis of the liver, or one of the leading causes of homicide and suicide and accident and strokes and health disease. So it's affecting your family, and then, you know, catching diseases and things like that, because when you're out drinking and stuff, sometimes you don't make the right decision with sexual partners and things that you do, committing fornication and adultery and all these things that's going on, they would say. And you know, you begin to have sexual partners and not thinking about we're using protection and things like that, because we know that the alcohol, when you're up under the alcohol, you can be discombobulated. You're not counting up you're not reasoning or counting up the cost or thinking about the consequences of what's going to happen. That's why alcohol is the leading cause of domestic violence. You know, when people drink, they do things and they don't think about it. It intensifies whatever emotion you have, whether it's sad, feeling sad, unhappy. Sometimes it can make it even worse. Okay. So we know we make poor decisions when we up under alcohol, okay? It comes at very, very high risk, okay? And then I'm going to close it out with this because I'm getting close to my time here. So we make poor decisions, but the person has, it's a high risk. It makes a person may handle stress poorly due to having few coping skills. A person who have inadequate decision-making skills because they may not consider the consequences in decisions. A person who's lacks of communication skills and therefore have trouble showing affection and expressing anger appropriately. May be out of control, you know, angry, out of control, slamming things, doing things you would not do if you wasn't under the influence. A person may have a problem with intimacy and a conflict in relationship and therefore have through a few of close friends. One thing about the addict, they can drink alone or use alone. Okay. That is one of the signs. A person has, they may, and we know it has low self-esteem. It causes their self-esteem. So therefore they have little awareness of feelings and needs and desires. The person who have inadequate organizational skills and therefore have a hard time organizing their lives and work. A person have a low reading ability. A person with a history of sexual abuse. This is one of the highest correlations with an addict and alcoholism. Okay, person who are you know predisposed to chemical dependency due to their family. Hereditary, it could be hereditary, family genes, maybe your uncle and cousins is doing it. You grow up, it's just so easy to get, it's so easy. You become numb to drugs, certain drugs and alcohol, because you grew up watching everybody around you do it. Granddaddy did it, grandfather did it, mama did it. Person who grew up in a home where one or more family members are abusing drugs and alcohol. So again, I'm going to get ready to leave you with this, okay? It's so important that we begin to take responsibility. And I said again, responsibility is the key to recovery, okay? It is the key to growth, okay? It may not happen overnight, but with counseling, you too can, you can conquer that disease of alcoholism, a drug addiction, which can then help you with your anger problems and things like that, okay? Now, I'm gonna close out and say here at Arise Counseling Center, we do have group counseling. You can contact us on our website, ariscounselingcenter.org. Okay. If you need information or call us, we have anger management classes. We deal with certain parts of drug addiction, domestic violence classes, and, you know, different classes. They may even help you personally. Okay. Just give us a call. Thank you for listening. I hope that this broadcast helped you. I'll be back next time with more information on life skills. Okay, thank you.